Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, and thank you for listening in to Team Rural Radio. Of course, I do not have the premium features, so this show will only be 30 minutes, but 30 minutes is a power hour. If I ever thought I could, I would. Thank you so much for listening in with us this morning. I'm hoping that I will not have a lot of technical difficulties because I've used Skype before and was able to call in online, and I'm using a cell phone. So I do not know how the audio is working and how it's going. And actually, my computer screen just went black. So, you know, that's just part of the course for Gina Brown when she's working grassroots, working on limited amount of money, working with a limited amount of social media that's free, which there's plenty out there for folks who want to utilize their voice in a way that can help empower folks to have compassion and to understand the world as it exists today. This is why I want to talk about something I saw yesterday. It broke my heart. It broke my heart. There's a corner here in the city where I live where panhandlers are generally, it's a pretty good sized shade tree and a very busy, like eight, you know, four-way intersection with a long light. So, you know, they panhandle. And one or two times I've seen a family out there. It was the same family, but they're gone. And then yesterday, I saw a woman. I saw a woman, maybe 30. The sign said struggling. Please help in any way that you can. My heart broke. Now, for those of us in grassroots and those of us on the streets and those of us down on the ground know, when people are using drugs, generally men will do the B&Es and women will prostitute. The very fact that this woman was standing there holding a sign, struggling, any help is appreciated or something like that. It took my breath away. It took my breath away because as often as I hear that there are jobs out there for people who want to work, the reality that I see and sense and experience for myself when I am out job hunting, there is no work. And women aren't getting paid what men are paid anyway. So the fact that this woman is like one step away from prostitution, just one step, or a guy, say he pulls up with a gun, you know, open motions, come on, and, you know, get in. It just, it's horrible to think of what is happening to our children today. And women, as mothers, we can do better. We can do better. I want to talk about some women who inspire me in my life. I have really long-lived relatives, so I'm very, very grateful for their guidance and their love. I wouldn't be the strong-minded woman I am today if I didn't have guidance as a child and the guidance coming up and the guidance today that I received from my elders. Now, one of them is a senior who's thinking about going back to work on an assembly line. She has 30-something years in and retired. Her house is paid off. But she told me the other day her water bill jumped from $9 a month to $47 a month. Now, I'm not experiencing that. I don't live in that city. I do not know what's going on with the water
But another thing that she shared with me is that the light company put a past due amount of $10 on her bill, and it wasn't even due yet, and it wasn't late. She wasn't late, and they just put the past due on, you know, hoping, I think, that people wouldn't notice. And when she compared that and showed her bill to her neighbor, they'd done it to her neighbor, and come to find out she lives on a cul-de-sac, and many people on that street had the same past due on their bill. So, you know, I always talk about on Facebook and places, people that don't know me, you know, I've been organizing, well, worked in mental health for a number of years before I began organizing in 2008. But what I've found is that it's getting worse. It's not getting better. And when I talk to people on a day-to-day basis of what's happening in their life, you know, I'm struggling to get my head wrapped around how are things debilitating so quickly. In their lifetime, as a mid to late 70s, you know, and especially, well, I have two that both worked in union jobs and retired. They can't make it. They cannot make it on the income that they have. Then I look at the woman, 30 years old, with a sign out there under the tree. And I thought, God, if a man had been there, he'd have probably moved her off that corner, you know, and then she'd have been on the other corner where there's no shade, you know, because women were second-class citizens. Nothing's changed. I mean, I have a friend, and we talked about this. We burned our bras in the 70s. We thought, you know, and nothing's changed. People, seniors, getting up, going to work, making biscuits at McDonald's. I saw one lady going in about 4 a.m. in the morning, and I asked her, and she said she was supplementing her income, and she got up early anyway, so that's why she always made the biscuits, and she'd go home about 9 or 10 in the morning, and it just breaks my heart. It just breaks my heart. I don't think that any of us ever envisioned a world where seniors would be struggling as hard as they are now just to understand the bills that are coming in, to read them properly. Just like my mom said, if she had signed up for the deduction from her banking account, she wouldn't have noticed the $10 late fee, you know. But she refuses to go off paper for this blindsiding of their limited income. I mean, these people are blindsided by a rate increase of their water bill of $30, yeah. And, you know, I talk to them. I feel their pain. I sense their pain. I see this lady, and does she have children? You know, is she getting some assistance? And people talk about welfare queens, and they don't understand what little bit the government does give is not near enough to feed or clothe or house these folks. And, you know, if you don't know people that are undergoing these kind of economic hardships, how about just go step out of your comfort zone a minute and go into a Dollar General or a Family Dollar or a Big Lots or a store that you probably wouldn't want to step foot in. Get your butt out of Kohl's, get out of JCPenney, get out of Belk's, get out of some of these type shops, and just walk around and look at your community. And I want to tell you that the goodness of people resonates in their heart. There is so much kindness out here on the streets every day, interaction between common people. And they would have you believe that because of a class or economic difference, that somehow people of a lower income have a depredative conscience, low moral values, and very weak ethics. I find the reverse. I find that people who are secure in their income or their privilege or their place in society tend to be the most authoritative, rigid, unloving, kind of controlling sometimes, people who are not unreasonable. I wouldn't say they were unreasonable. I think that they've been conditioned and we've been propagandized to learn our place in society very early at a young age, and then we are molded by institutions like higher education, our churches, TV, media, to maintain those class standards, because nothing changes, see, if nothing changes. The one thing that we do have is heart. We have our hearts, and our hearts can resonate love for one another. And people talk to me all the time about, oh, Gina Brown, you know, you can lead a revolution. And I say to them, this is revolting. Do you know where the word revolution comes from? It's a revolting, a revolving door. Because all revolutions ever do is make warmongers lots of money, to kill a lot of poor people, and we end up with veterans whom we can't afford to house, to feed, or to clothe. And the mental PTSD, the trauma that these folk endure behind these wars, these non-essential wars, is just, they're struggling, just like the lady with the sign, struggling to get up every day. I'm just struggling. And, you know, I find that more and more, and I think as some of the older women in my family say, they didn't believe that the world would be this cruel when they got to be their age. So I'm sure that there are people out here in Blog Talk Radio, the few of you who may be listening to this live or listening as a podcast, you know stories. I'm sure that you know people yourself that are undergoing, women that are undergoing a lot of hardship, especially in a state like Georgia, where I'm from, who medical assistance is not available for most women. And, you know, it's just extremely disappointing to know that good people that get up and go to work allow the few people that do vote that put these legislators in office, that good people that get up and go to work allow this system to maintain its own prosperity when there's no prosperity on the ground. And I don't fault you for voting. It's very anonymous to go into a booth and get your little card and close your little curtain and pull your little lever and come out. But you know what? That's not really doing much to change your community. And I used to hear, oh, you shouldn't complain if you don't vote. You don't have any reason to be talking. Well, you know what? Yes, I do. Because your little anonymous vote and your participation in a system that is so degraded as to have women standing on the corner struggling is beyond my mind to comprehend. Because what I understand is at least 2/3 of Americans are not voting. And why are they not voting? It's because the system is rigged against working people. We know this from John Adams and the notes that he kept at the second convention in Philadelphia. So we know that this is geared for landowners and privileged white men. You know, and I'm not hurting anybody's feelings here because I do support anyone and everyone. But the system in itself is flawed. the people that really manage and maintain this electoral system don't want the numbers fluctuating. They don't want a huge increase of new voters because it will topple the apple cart. And let me tell you, folks, the emperor has no clothes. The emperor has no clothes. You know, I have a GoFundMe page at GoFundMe.com/Gina Brown, J-E-A-N-A Brown, Gina Brown, all one word, because I would like to talk about some of the things that I personally witnessed in my position as an elected Democratic official in Georgia, and also to talk about some of the threats, intimidation, and abusive things that happen to good people who attempt to run for office. I mean, you know, if you're a pharmacist and you've retired and you've got years in your community of respect and honor and love, and you want to run for office, I think you decide that you'd like to have a take on a civic, your social duty, civic duty, be civic minded. You would think that a human being and born in America that's lived and worked a life and retired in honor and loyalty should be able to run for office. No way. No way, Jose. No way. Yeah, they can file the paperwork to run. But let me tell you something. It ain't funny. It ain't not. It's pretty disgusting to me because everything that my grandfather told me about the management of elections in the 50s and 60s and from what I know from my great-grandfather, you know, I like to say, go take a look at the movie Gangs of New York and watch that movie, Gangs of New York, and then let me bring you forward because not very much has changed. There are institutions that maintain the status quo, and that is through other I just don't want to say right now. Just like someone messaged me, it's very dangerous what you're doing, Gina Brown. And, yeah, it is. But I got my kids' approval. Ding, stamp of approval. And they support me, whatever I decide. Ding, because they want to see a better world themselves, and they're millennials. And one of them told me, you know, Mom, we millennials, when we get our shit together, we are going to have the seniors and the veterans and the folks. We are going to take care of you guys because we weren't raised with that racist bullshit, and we don't believe in that kind of crap. And, you know, they're very thoughtful and loving, and when people talk about the millennials, it really bothers me because they don't understand millennials have been through two depressions, and most of us are only hit with one out of high school, so... you know, these kids are struggling. There's that word, struggling. But that doesn't mean that their hearts are not pure, that their hearts are not strong, you know. And the other thing is, just because it appears as if a person hasn't got the moral fortitude, do not think that you can't turn that light bulb on. You can touch a person every single day of your life with a smile, with a kind word, with a thought, of them in before you move in action, because that's how we're going to go from a taking world to a given world. You know, I had a friend, and she's quite a political satirist, but she said, good luck with that, Gina Brown, you know, going from a taking world to a given world. But I say we will go to a giving world, $1 one day, one person at a time, because we can't continue in this disparity of economic inequality. We can't continue struggling. Because you know what, honey, I know even people in a class society, upper class, they're struggling too. They're struggling. None of us are free from disease. None of us are free from death. You know, you're driving in that Mercedes, getting on down the road, honey, and, you know, here comes an 18-wheeler. So none of us are promised tomorrow. All we can do today is do the very best we can to treat our fellow man as we would like to be treated ourselves. And I don't think that's asking too much. You know, so those are the things that I want to talk about. Those are things I'm organizing around. I got about 10 minutes left. The guest call-in number is 646-787-8540. That's 646-787-8540. I wish you would call in and share with me what you're doing this morning. We're going to be doing quite a bit of these 30-minute calls and call-ins, and I'll have some of these folks I'm telling you about. My Aunt Carol, we call her stories The Perils of Carol, and I'm telling you, it's really sad right now, for she's going through a foreclosure at 74 years old. You know, shame on it all. Shame on it all. None of us want to see good people suffer, especially people who have worked all their lives and deserve the dignity of maintaining their lifestyle that they worked so hard to achieve, you know. And the other mom that's just really a big help to me is Alice. And, you know, she likes to joke a lot and tell us about, you know, if you've got some problems, go see Alice. So we're going to have them on as they can relate to us what they're going through, these hidden fees and these increases on water bills. And, you know, they're Republican and independent, and this is not a partisan effort at all. This is not about party politics or the body politic. I think the body politic has already proven it is ineffective, that the, as I said earlier, the emperor has no clothes. And I'm talking about your local emperor, you know, your local judicial and mayors and these folks down low, because some of the stories I'd like to share, you know, when something's picked up by the state and then threw back down to the local level, to me the emperor has no clothes at the local level, because you don't have the state backing your ass up anymore. And, oh, I'm sorry, my Aunt Carol told me to keep it clean, and I just said a curse word. I apologize. But it just tells me the emperor has no clothes, and the only person who don't know it is him. So, you know, hopefully these shows will help him, because he's struggling. You know, he's struggling. He don't understand why the system is changing. But change it will, and it needs to change. The corporations need a systems change. There's good corporations that can't compete with the Koch brothers. When I talk about systems change, I talk about a principle that I heard at a women's leadership training conference, which I'm so grateful that I was able to attend on a scholarship from Vote Run Lead, and Erin Velarde and those folks there. They were very generous, and you know, because I was not sure what I wanted to do a couple of years ago. But at an upper-level organizing class, they had a very small group where the lecturer was talking about a term she coined, system change. And she said that we had the lowest voter turnout since World War II in the last election. And that wasn't a problem. That was not a problem for the status quo. But it was a problem for the American people. And the problem for the American people was not the vote, low voter turnout. Okay, you ready? You ready for this? Problem for the American people was that America got up and went to work the next day. I'm like, holy cow. A light bulb just went off in my head. If people get up and go to work the next day, they comply with the system. They're in compliance. Or they could, you could call the word complicit or duplicit. Complicit in this massive system of degradation to common socially minded citizens. And it is also degrading to smaller businesses and smaller corporations who cannot compete with these super PACs, Koch brothers, or these folks who finance and manipulate outcomes in elections, you know anybody that's manipulating outcomes, I think in the 12-step program I learned in the first step that I'm powerless over people, places, and things. So anytime I'm trying to manipulate an outcome, I'm in an addictive behavior. Well, let's look at this on top of the system we're living in. They're kind of in an addictive behavior here, and the addiction that they have is an addiction to power. And there is a movie on metanoiafilms.org, metanoia-films.org, and it's free to watch online. I watched all of the videos there. They're very good. ThoughtMaybe.com is another great documentary site. But the movie was called The Power Principle, The Power Principle. And why letting go of power is such a hardship for people who are grounded in the belief that this world is quantified by acquisition of things. And when you have people like that running the world, this is why, as I heard a leading journalist say, 62 people in the world own half of the wealth. 62 people in the world own half of the wealth. So let's don't even go to the, 98% and the Occupy and all that. Let's just think a minute about that. 62 people own half of the wealth. If I was one of those 62 people, I would be feeding some people. And, you know, they haven't done it. All of my life I've heard, this will increase crop yield. We will be able to feed the world and feed, I remember in the 70s and 80s, we're going to feed everybody and this and that. And how many people are still starving in Africa? And they still telling kids, you better eat what's on your plate because people are starving. And it's a shame. It's a shame. So, I have a lot to talk about because anybody that knows me knows I love to talk. But that's a good thing because I don't know how many women at 58 have a chance to start their life over and think about what they want to do with their life. And as for me and my house, as for me and my children, as for me and my relatives, as for me and my ancestors, we shall serve the Lord. He is the light. He is the love. He is everything. And when I say that, I mean that through good. When God created the world, he created man in his own image, male and female, right? Now, I'm not getting religious, but this is Sunday morning. But if I read the scripture right, he looked around and said, it's good. Everything's good. It was very good. So where in the world did we get going bad? I'll just close by saying in Isaiah, there is a scripture that says God did create evil. So why would he have done that? If he looked in Genesis and said everything was very good. Well, let me tell you something, folks. We need the bad and the good. We need the root with the tree. But the thing that has to happen is a system change. America, we can't be complicit in allowing a few people to maintain the status quo. And if it means sitting down at the voting booths every year just doing a sit-down protest outside and with a sign saying, I'm not voting, I bet you one day we'll have more people sitting outside not voting than people going in voting. And then what are they going to do? There's going to have to be an organizational way of peaceful noncompliance to help create and formulate a system change so that we will go from a taking world to one giving world, one day at a time. And I promise you that Team Rural and myself, Gina Brown, is on a task, I'm on a mission, and I will not stop, for I have great love for you all, great love for humanity and all religions.